Amen. How we need him. If you'd open your copy of God's Word to the book of Luke in chapter 6 again this morning. Luke chapter 6, and we will read this morning, beginning in verse 27. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 27. Let's hear the word of God. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those who from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Let's pray. Father, we come now asking that you would bring this word to bear on us, Father, that your word would bring conviction by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that your word would bring comfort by your Holy Spirit, that your word would bring transformation to our hearts and our minds as we receive it by faith, delight in it, and seek to obey it in the power that you provide. We pray that this morning for the glory of your name and for our eternal and everlasting joy. Amen. This morning, we continue on in the gospel according to Luke, and we continue to listen to Jesus as he teaches his disciples. And as we dive into this text this morning, I want us to look first something that may be quite obvious, but it's the center of this passage of Scripture, and that is the command to love supernaturally. The command to love supernaturally. We'll just see it so plainly stated at the beginning of the passage in verse 27, love your enemies. And we see it again as we come to the end of our section in verse 35, but love your enemies. At the heart of this passage this morning, Jesus teaching his disciples, saying again to them in instructive command, the command to love supernaturally. We're going to make an observation as we begin right out of the gate. Because as I was studying this passage, we're going to go on to see the character of this supernatural love and the commendation that comes in light of this supernatural love. But as we look at the command itself, just the raw command here, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. What's all encompassed in this love? As I was studying this passage this week, I came across this statement. Since love, this is a quote, is something commanded, It has little to do with a feeling or emotion. Read that quote again. Since love is commanded, it has little to do with a feeling or emotion. Wrong. There's some assumptions in that quotation. The biggest assumption in that quotation is this: that God could never and would never command us to feel anything. But do you remember what passage we looked at last week? This is just one example spread across the whole of the scripture. You know, the sovereign Lord of the universe is free to command you to feel this way or that way, and he does it all the time. So you remember last week we looked at this context of the blessed life, the good life, as Jesus turns upside down our normal instincts on this, and he says this: blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and when they revile you and when they spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. And then hear it: rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Elsewhere in Scripture, we're commanded in exactly the same context, in the persecution that comes against us as Christians, to rejoice and be glad. Now let me ask you, is rejoicing, is leaping for joy, is gladness an emotion, a feeling? Yes, it is. The Scriptures command us to delight ourselves in the Lord. The Scriptures command us to praise Him and give thanks. And all of these things involve the feelings, the affections, the emotions. So we are quick to make these kinds of statements, I think, in one regard, because we are expecting the merely natural. Well, I can't actually make myself feel this way or that way, therefore God couldn't command me to do it. Is that the assumption of Scripture? It's true, you can't make yourself feel this way or that way. God will command you to do it all the same. And He will make provision for it to happen. So as we begin to look at the command to love supernaturally, we want to set aside the notion that all that we have here is some kind of external action that's commanded. This reality here of this command, this supernatural love, is going to include not just what we do, but things that are happening inside of us. Love your enemies. I want you to take stock just quickly in your life. Do you have enemies? Those who hate you, those who curse you, and those who abuse you. Those are the three descriptions that Jesus goes on to make, to give us. Who are these enemies that he's talking about? It's people who hate us, who curse us, who abuse us. Do you have enemies in your life? Some of you will quickly be able to think of people who fit this description, but I think it's probably true that for a number of us, it'd be a little bit difficult to get much of a list there. And as we jump into this text this morning, we see how much emphasis Jesus is putting on it. We see how he brought it up to light in the previous passage. It's actually blessed to be reviled in this way, to be hated and despised, and to have people speak evil against us. Is that happening for us? And as I've reflected on this, I just want to begin to suggest to us that perhaps we need to be acting in such a way that we would have a few more enemies. as believers in Jesus Christ. Are we to go and seek out enemies? Absolutely not. But you know, Jesus makes a promise that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He doesn't lay out for us the extent of that persecution. He doesn't give us every example of the particular kinds, but the existence of the persecution is certain. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He's teaching his disciples what the blessed life looks like, because he knows that his faithful disciples will experience those things that he talks about in that previous section. You remember, he says, when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you, when they spurn your name as evil. And as I've reflected on this, I think there's just a few simple steps that we could take, and I think most of us would acknowledge we need growth here. All we have to do is desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus and to seek to be faithful with his words in the world, and we will have more enemies. You see, it says right there, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. If you would just speak about that to a few more people this week, if I would just speak about that to a few more people this week and next month, we will have the experiences that Jesus tells us we will have, and we will get opportunity to obey Jesus' command to love supernaturally. So that's the command. It's just starkly set out there. And to press it in as we jump into the characteristics of that love, let's just look one more time back at the previous passage. When Jesus says, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you, when they spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. And he gives that command that was surprising. It is surprising. It's hard to stomach immediately when he says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. When people hate us, when these things happen, we are to rejoice and leap for joy. Okay, that was hard. But today Jesus is going to come and he's going to just move in a little farther. Or we can do that, right? So we're out there, and we're speaking with a coworker, or we're speaking with a neighbor. We begin to experience the hate and the reviling that comes upon those who identify with Jesus in words and deeds. And perhaps we hear Jesus' words there and we say yes. You know, we have the Spirit of God within us and we rejoice that we're counted worthy to suffer for the sake of his name, even if in small measure. But now he comes and he says, not only are to you to go off and rejoice in your room or in your home or in your church, but how are you to act towards those very people who hate you and spurn your name as evil? He says you need to love them supernaturally. You need to love them supernaturally. So what are the characteristics? What is the character of this supernatural love? This is the second point, but it's going to take the majority of our time, just so you're ready. And the third point will alliterate. I know that's lame, but we're going to do it anyway. So we have the command, and we have the character of supernatural love, and then we have the commendation of supernatural love. So we're going to look at the character of supernatural love as seen first in its object. So the character of supernatural love as seen first in its object. Supernatural love isn't just spread out there into the world in a general sense. No, we saw what Jesus said here. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Okay, we understand those three words, love your enemies. But Jesus is going to just press it in a little bit farther. He's just going to take a moment to use a few more descriptions so that we understand truly and without making kind of excuses or sliding around the corners of it, we understand the object of this command to love supernaturally. Those who hate you. It's not a happy word, is it? Hate. You've probably experienced it in your own life. You've probably, at some point in your experience, hated someone in some capacity. And Jesus now is saying that there exist these people, they're enemies, and they hate you. They curse you. Their desire is so set against you that they, in whatever way, they would delight to see your downfall. They would delight to see your reputation destroyed in all of your life. They would delight to see you lose worldly things, whether it's your home or whether it's your family. They would delight to see, in some instances, they would delight to see you actually lose your life. Those who hate you, those who curse you, those who abuse you. Final word involves probably threatenings and even physical acts of aggression, violence. We see some illustrations in the scriptures of those whose property was plundered because they were identified with Jesus. So we have to stop there and see the character of supernatural love as we just stare for a minute at the object. So you need to get that image in your mind of a real flesh and blood person, a man or a woman who is filled against you personally with hate, with cursing, with abuse. And Jesus says, love them. Love them supernaturally. So we see the character of supernatural love first in its object. And then we see it second in its action. Corresponding to those further descriptions of the enemy, we have further descriptions of the action that love takes with reference to that enemy. So we have that picture in our mind. And this might be a little bit theoretical for you, or it might be extremely and immediately applicable. But we have this picture in our mind of this person who hates us, they curse us, they're filled with threats and perhaps even violence against us. And Jesus tells us to love supernaturally. You see that there? Do good. Do good. There's nothing passive about this love. We already stated that it does involve our feelings, our emotions. And we can see that so clearly by thinking about Jesus' teaching. What does he say about someone who hates his brother in his heart? That's murder. Right? So we don't have a picture of someone who's got an enemy that hates them and they hate them back, but they heard Jesus say love, and so they're just going to act. They're going to bring them a casserole while they just want them to die in their heart. So you see, that's ridiculous, right? That's so far from what Jesus is telling us here, but it does act. It doesn't just remove the negative, right? I'm not going to respond in kind. It's not neutral, but it actually moves towards the enemy with good. Do good to those who hate you. Not feel good feelings in here only. Not wish them well in your heart, but stay 1,000 miles away. Do good. There's 1,000 applications. But as we think about it, we think about that person who hates us. Jesus says, the character of this supernatural love is to move in with some form of goodness for them. And then he moves it even farther, bless those who curse you. So you outwardly do an act of goodness towards them, but then he says bless. To bless is to genuinely and deeply and honestly desire the favor of God upon their life. You got the picture of that person? They hate you. They curse you. They abuse you, threaten violence. Supernatural love acts in blessing. Desiring the favor of God upon their life, desiring ultimately that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, turn from their sins, and find forgiveness and hope in Him, that what? That ultimately also you would be reconciled to them, that you could embrace them as a brother or sister in Jesus Christ. The third action that Jesus calls us to here, the character of supernatural love, is to pray. To pray. And we're on our knees before our Father in heaven, and we have this person. They hate us, they curse us. Their desires for violence against us. Pray for them. These are very measurable things, are they not? You can evaluate an individual situation of this kind of experience, and you can say, am I living this supernatural love? Am I doing good? Am I blessing? Am I praying? And if you're not, you don't really need to go on any farther. You just need to go back and deal with your heart before the God of this word here. But we see first the character of supernatural love and its object, and then it's in its actions, and then we see it in an example. So Jesus continues to press it in, right? We have this person who hates us, who reviles us. Person who curses us. And Jesus moves on. He says, to one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. And give to everyone who begs from you. And from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. There's these three for instances here. We're speaking about the same thing. We're speaking about the character of supernatural love. And we see its selflessness. We see its self-sacrificial nature in these three descriptions here. To the one who strikes you on the cheek. We think of Lamentations 3:30, where it's written that the cheek is presented to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. We see that to be struck on the cheek in this manner in the scriptures is to be demeaned, it's to be insulted. And Jesus says, someone comes against you in that way. You lay down your life for them. Offer the other also. Does that mean that you just kind of ask for the other side as well? Or is Jesus going to a little bit of a deeper principle here? Well, we have examples in the scripture, both in Jesus and Paul's life, of this very thing happening. And in neither case do they say, sort of literally, please another one on the other side. But supernatural love, when it's insulted unjustly, when it's injured, in love for that object, that enemy, it continues to seek their good, though it knows that that insult, that injury is probably going to come again. So we see Paul and Jesus throughout their ministries continue to enter into all manner of situations where they know this type of thing will happen, and yet they continue to do so. Because this love is a selfless love. We see there that it extends to the area of having the cloak taken away, right? The cloak being the outer garment. And this supernatural love says, you need that outer cloak, you take that outer cloak here, have this inner tunic also. Verse 30, it says, give to everyone who begs from you. Beg, I think, is not the most helpful translation there. It's ask, but in terms of, as we're going to see in the context as it goes down, probably in terms of someone in need, but asking for some type of a loan. Can you give me money to help me in this situation? And from the one who takes those same goods away, do not demand them back. As we see the examples coming in the contrasts, we'll see a little bit more about what that looks like. But we see that this supernatural love can't be spread aside easily, and it's going to cost us deeply. It's not love that just kind of sees what it can do on the surface. It's not really going to cost me anything. It's a costly love. Next, we see the character of supernatural love in summary. This is probably the most familiar part of this passage. You see there in verse 31, as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them, right? One of the most famous sayings of Jesus in all of the scriptures. A genuinely profound summary of this supernatural love. There's kinds of statements like this in the world and in other literature, but generally in the negative. Kind of, you know, if you wouldn't want someone to hit you, don't go around hitting people, right? And that's true. That's good. But Jesus states it positively, doesn't he? He places a burden, a requirement upon us in this supernatural love. As we wish that others would do to us, do so to them. It's active. It's taking an initiative. And it's considering the other person. It takes a bit of work and effort, doesn't it? Because on the surface level, you know, you just think, all I have to do is think of what I like and then do that for other people. But it doesn't really get all the way down to the heart of it, does it? Because you like things that other people don't really like. You know, just on a surface level example, you know, you think of a very mediocre kind of a thing, but a true thing as the way we relate to one another. You know, you know someone's suffering in some way, and there's different ways we like to be ministered in the context of suffering, isn't there? Not everybody kind of desires the same thing in that moment. Some people are like, come in and spend the day with me. Please be close. I need a hug. I need you here. But the next person's like, I just need you to tell me that you do love me, that you're praying for me. But really, I would rather if you weren't in my house right now. You know, come later. I need to work this through. Supernatural love takes close consideration of what others would want, moves towards them in love. Finally, we see in contrast. So Jesus continues to move us through this picture of supernatural love. And I hope that as you look at it now, you begin to see why I said that we're commanded to love supernaturally. I hope that you've begun to see that, because the problem that we often come into is that people will read passages like this, right? They're the kind of people who are like, yeah, Jesus was neat. You know, he taught some cool stuff. We could just grab it and kind of run with it in life. If we really listen to what Jesus is saying here about this love, and we're honest even for a minute with ourselves, we will know that we could not produce this love in ourselves. We would know that we could not walk in the fullness of what Jesus is saying here on our own. And we see it even more explicitly as Jesus makes a contrast now. He's telling us about the character of supernatural love, and he gives us these three contrasts. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Jesus is not that politically correct either. He's just going around calling people sinners. All right? So just relax in your words with people you love. You speak to them in kindness and in grace, but you don't have to avoid biblical language in discussions. So Jesus continues, if you lend to those who from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. What do these three contrasts show? That in the world there is a kind of love that is self-serving. The world loves in a way. The world loves those who love them back. The world loves those who, when they give them something, they expect something to come back to them. The world loves those who maybe did a nice thing for them on Wednesday and thinks to themselves, you know, I probably should return that favor. You know, I got to keep this thing going. I remember in my anthropology class in the University of Winnipeg many years ago, you know, they talked a lot about reciprocity as the foundation of cultures, right? You scratch my back, I scratch yours, and everything goes around so wonderfully. And Jesus says, yeah, that's how the world works. And that's not what I'm talking about. That is not what I'm talking about. When I say to be generous with your things, to be generous with your finances, I don't mean you give out that loan because you know in a year I might need something and then I've got some favors to call in. No, this is a contrast here. This is supernatural love that goes beyond the ordinary love that we see in a world where people bear the image of God inescapably, though it's bent and broken, but they can't help a measure of love displayed. Not that love, Jesus says. Comes back to it in verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High. We see at the end of the passage the commendation of supernatural love. There is abundant reward in this love before God. And there is this description here. You see that you will be sons of the Most High. Why? Because He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Our sonship in terms of the kingdom and in terms of God, our Father, is illustrated and displayed as we walk in the kind of love that our Father walked in, that our Savior Jesus walks in. Verse 36 says, "Be merciful even as your Father is merciful." Jesus has laid out the character of love for us, but then we know, because we know the whole story, that He is just going to embody everything He teaches us. Romans 5, 6 and following shows us this so clearly, doesn't it? God loves and is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. When we were weak, Jesus died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Jesus went to the cross and took all of the wrath that every sinner, every weak and fallen human being deserves. He exhausted it in Himself in our place. He went to the cross for His enemies, for those who hated Him, those who reviled Him, those who spurned His name as evil. That's the character of supernatural love. We look at that hill of Calvary and that cross raised up, and we see Jesus on that cross, condemned in the place of sinners, condemned in the place of the ungrateful and the evil, condemned in the place of the wicked, condemned in the place of those who hated Him and spurned His name as evil. And you remember Luke 23:34, you remember Jesus' words, "Father, forgive them." Jesus' heart of love towards those who were in the very moment bringing His death about, hating and cursing and reviling and abusing. There we see the character of supernatural love. Do you have that love? John says that if you do, it is only because you have been born again by the Spirit of God. You see, it's supernatural. It doesn't occur in someone just because they heard this passage and thought that's a good idea. 1 John 4:7 says, "Love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." Do you have this love in measure? This is a question you can actually answer as you look at the pages of Scripture and as you test yourselves to see whether you're in the faith and you allow God's Spirit to testify with your spirit whether you are a child of God. If you do not have this love, what does the Bible say about you? You're an enemy of God, just as all of us once were. You're a sinner, just as all of us are, apart from the grace of God in Christ. You are someone who hates God, whether you would say those words or not. And what do you need to hear this morning? You need to hear the supernatural love of Jesus that went to the cross for sinners, that went to the cross for enemies. And you need to cast yourself upon him in faith. And if you do, this love will take root in your heart as the Spirit of God has made his home in you. And you will begin to love your enemies supernaturally by the grace of God and for the sake of his praise among all the nations. Let's pray. Father, all of us fall short of this supernatural love. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus and have this love in us by the Holy Spirit, oh Father, would you increase it? Would you bear this fruit in us more and more and more for the glory of your name? Father, would you give us increased opportunity to love like this those who hate us and curse us and bring all kinds of abuse against us because we belong to Jesus? And Father, for those here this morning who do not have this love because they have yet to be united to Jesus, who don't have this love because they have yet to be born again by the Spirit of God, oh Father, as we have beheld that love displayed in the cross of Jesus Christ, even in your word this morning, Father, would you bring life and light to us?